and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Notice it's not just the meditation of my heart. It's not just what I think that needs to be acceptable in his sight. Right? What else does he say? It's the words of my mouth. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about words of our mouth. We're going to be talking about our tongue. We're talking about teaspoons to wheelbarrows. I'm doing a series called Teaspoons to Wheelbarrows, which is focused at seeking after and incurring the blessings of God upon our lives. And that's what we're talking about here. And I think this is either the sixth or the seventh message or something like that, maybe the eighth, I don't know, that we've done on this particular aspect. And we're asking questions now to see if there are areas in our life where God possibly is not blessing us. And what I want to talk about today and the question that I want to ask today and then answer is, what is my mouth producing? What is my mouth producing? Or we could say, is my tongue bridled? What is my mouth producing? And I want you to look with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. I've got a lot I want to say, so I'll be moving rapidly. I ask you to take notes and just keep going and then write these things down and then seek them out and see if these things be so. I ask you not to necessarily, I'll never tell you not to come talk to me. I want you to come talk to me if you have questions. But I ask you to look into the Word of God and see if the Word of God says that what I'm saying is so. That's what the Bereans did, isn't it? Bereans sought these things out to see if they be so. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. From the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. But the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Two thoughts here in verse 2. A person's mouth produces fruit. A person's mouth produces fruit. Now that'll be fruit to heal you and fruit to cause you to prosper. Now, that'll be fruit that will kill you and ruin you. First thing we've got to see is that whatever comes out of your mouth is a product, it's producing, it's a fruit. And it's going to come forth and it's going to be eaten. And then the second thing in verse 3, it says that if you guard your mouth, you preserve or you savor or you'll have long life. If you guard your mouth, you'll station a guard there. If you can see an angel standing at your lips guarding what comes out of that thing, if you'll do that, the Bible promises us that we'll live a long time, our life will be preserved, we'll have blessings. But if we don't guard our mouth, we open wide our mouth, what happens? What does the Bible say? You get ruined. Now, what I have been guilty of, and I believe that most Christians are guilty of, is opening wide our mouth. Brother, I'm just led of the Lord to tell you this. And what we're doing, and we're going to see it, and I'm going to tell you where we're going and then get there. What we're doing is we're invoking demons upon our life. Now, you might not know that. But I'm going to go ahead and say it, so I'll say it, and I'll say it, and I'll say it, so that we'll understand by the time we leave here that when I say something negative, I'm invoking a ruin upon my life. There's a fruit that's coming out of me, and somebody's going to eat it. And it can, if I produce good fruit, I'll live a long time, I'll be blessed. But if I say bad things, something's coming to ruin. Now, turn to chapter 18 of the same book, Proverbs 18. Very well-known passage of Scripture. Verses 20 and 21. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. Can you see that blessings come out of your mouth? You can be blessed by the fruit that's in your mouth. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whichever one you're loving, you're going to eat it. Powerful passage of Scripture. He says, first of all, I am satisfied or I am blessed by the fruit of the words of my mouth. And then secondly, there is a power that resides within my tongue or within my words. I can't see it in the natural. I don't experience it. I can't see what's happening. I can't really see when those words go out. I can't see it, but I can see the effects of it. I can tell when I've spoken a word and it's hurt somebody. I can tell when I've set my course and it comes back upon me and there's a ruin in it. And I know that there's a power, there's a force that's in my mouth, that's in my tongue, it's in your mouth, and it's in your tongue. And when we release that thing, we're releasing a power, we're releasing a force. You're going to release demons or you're going to release angels. What I'm telling you today is not just a message. I don't just preach to preach anymore. I'm telling you today the difference of demons on you or angels on you. I'm telling you the difference of your life being blessed or being cursed. I don't think you'll ever be blessed of God into His full potentials of blessings upon your life if you cannot learn how to control your tongue. Do you see that it really does matter what we say? I want you to say then. Say, it really does matter what I say. I want you to say it one more time. It really does matter. It does. It does. As we project through this, and as we go through this, you're going to see. When you walk out of here, you'll know. You'll know that you have been guilty of cursing yourself. That you have invoked demons upon your life, upon your children, upon your home, upon your church. And I hope that when we leave here, we'll never do it again. Say, I never want to do it again. Daniel chapter 10. If you've been around here long, you know that I refer to this lately a great deal, Daniel, because it's such a wonderful picture to us of how we activate angels. I've preached from it 2 or 3 times. What is happening here? Daniel has had a revelation. There's been an uncovering, a revealing, an apocalypse. And Daniel has received the Word of God. He didn't understand it. So he set his face to seek God, and he fasted. The Bible says that he set his heart, he humbled himself. And then I want to read verse 12 of Daniel chapter 10. This is the angel now that has come to Daniel with the answer to his prayer and the answer to his time of fasting. Verse 12, then he said to me, then the angel said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now, according to the word of the Lord, what activated the angel? What brought the angel's response? Daniel's words. It was Daniel's words that activated the angel. It wasn't Daniel's thoughts. It wasn't what Daniel believed in his heart. It was what Daniel confessed with his mouth. It wasn't the meditation that was in Daniel's heart that was pleasing unto the Lord. What was it that brought the angel? The words of his mouth. Now, you need both. You understand. You need both. You need to have your thinking right. But your words have got to be right. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. We've got to understand that words are power. Understand this. Daniel, by his words, activated an angel. We've read in Proverbs that the power of life and death is in the tongue. My words, then, activate power in my life, and life, or they activate death. Is that right? The power of life and death is in the tongue. My words activate angels. But keep doing that and flip that around. We see then that our words then activate devils. And you'll see before you leave here tonight, today, you'll see that when our tongue is not bridled, we are setting a fire of hell. Our tongue is activated by the demon spirits of hell when we do not bridle it, when we do not control it. Now, Daniel was a man of God, and angels responded to Daniel's words. It is so important to understand that it's what we say that brings responses in the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said this, when you pray, think. What does He say? When you pray, say. When we pray, we're saying, and what are we doing? We're activating angels to go and answer our prayers. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Says that if a person will confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? Angels are released and salvation is worked. Your life experiences deliverance. Your life experiences an attacking of the devil. Your life experiences the plundering of the kingdom of God. That's deliverance. That's salvation. The way it works is by our tongues releasing angels. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus has cursed the fig tree. And what he says here, he says, and if you think to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea, he says, and you believe it in your heart, what you said will happen. Okay? We've got to understand that there is something, a power, a force that happens in our tongue, that if we speak the Word of God, if we speak the wisdom of God, that things are going to happen, angels are released, and things are going to take place. Now, Matthew chapter 12, don't turn, you just write these things down. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says this, by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. Words will justify you and bless you, or words will condemn you. Is this powerful? And we open wide our mouth and wonder why we're being ruined. Hello, come on, you love me now, don't you? You love your pastor. And I'm as guilty as anybody in here. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. Now, we got to learn to bridle our tongue. Now, with it, I can bless or I can curse. We were back here in prayer Wednesday night. And Cindy Ball shared with us at the end of the time of prayer. And Cindy had suffered a real nervous condition. And she felt really impressed one day to call the elders of the church and be anointed of oil. So we did, and we prayed for her. And then all of a sudden, she began noticing that she wasn't nervous anymore. She went one day, and 2 days, and 3 days. And all, she wasn't nervous. And said that she was going through Fred's department store, pushing a buggy down an aisle. And all of a sudden, not thinking about the things of God, not necessarily meditating, but all of a sudden, her little voice said, you know that thing's going to come back on you, don't you? Cindy said she stopped that buggy. She says, no, it won't, in Jesus' name. Is that what she said, folks? Is that what she said back there? And you know, it happened. We've got to learn. She says, by His stripes I am healed. And we've got to learn that it's the words of our mouth that's going to keep that thing off of you. So, I want you to repeat with me. With my tongue, I can release angels of blessings. In my own life, I can eat the fruit of blessings. I decide this moment to experience the blessings of my tongue. And you make the decision. You can invoke demons on your life, your children, your home, your church. You can invoke blessings. And Jesus says, when men come to you and speak evil against you, and all manners of, when they revile you and speak all manners of evil against you, He says, curse them back, right? I'm going to talk about that in just a little while. I just want you to know that, listen, folks, what we do is we open wide our mouth and experience ruin many times. Now, James chapter 1, I want you to see James chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to spend most of the rest of the time in the book of James. We're going to go to James, and we're going to go to the book of Luke, and then back to James, and we'll just quit there. James chapter 1, not chapter 3, James chapter 1. We'll go to 3 in just a minute. James does one of the best teachings about the tongue and its power, other than in the New Testament, other than the Proverbs and Psalms, in the whole of Scripture. James chapter 1 and verse 26. I'm hearing pages. I'm going to wait just a second. I want you to be there. This is so important. If anyone thinks, how many is an anyone? Okay, so this applies to anyone. This applies to you and to me. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and religious here is neither a negative nor a positive. Religion here means to have a God. If anyone thinks he has a God, and if anyone is serving a God, okay? If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? Worthless. What's some other translations? Vain. Barren. Good. Useless. You get the thrust, don't you? You can believe it in your heart. You can know what the Word of God says. But if backbite and slander and evil speaking is coming out of your mouth, What you believe is worthless. You can have the greatest teachings in the world. Be able to quote Psalms and Proverbs and all the wisdom of God. But if foul things proceed out of our mouth, it's worthless. You've deceived your own heart. Now, what does that mean? I had a friend when I was growing up. He's still my friend. I'm still growing. But this friend had a real problem with lying. You ever met anybody like that? I mean, this guy would lie. I think he just got a big kick out of lying. And we would do something, and I would be there. And we'd be having fun. And then he would relate the story to somebody else, and it would be totally different from what happened. Of course, he was always bringing himself to glory. He was always in the preeminence. He was always, you know, the great one in whatever that it was. And he would tell this story, and he would tell this story, and he would tell this story. And finally, you know what? That thing began to be real in him, and what he was lying about began to be true to him. And I would approach him, and I would say, listen, that's not the way it happened. Oh, yeah, it was. Don't you remember? And he had deceived his own heart. Do you know that if you start talking bad about people, if you start talking bad about yourself, if you start talking bad about your children, if you start talking bad about this church, you'll start believing it. And you can have the best kids in the world. You can have the best preacher in the world. But if all you say about me is bad things, all you're going to start believing and seeing is the bad things. You can have great kids, a great wife. But if all you're saying is that junk, you're bringing it to ruin, and you're deceiving your own heart. I mean, who's ever known people like that? I mean, they lied and they finally believed the lie. They believed what they were saying to be true, and it wasn't true. And it's that way in the Bible. We know that, you know, people hear a preacher say it so much, they start saying it, and it might not even be in here. I was talking to somebody just this past week, and they said, you know, somebody said, he didn't know where it was. It was her. She didn't know where it was, but she knew the Bible said this. And what they were telling me was not what the Bible said, was it? It was nowhere in there. It wasn't in there at all. But she says, I know it's in there because she has heard it said, and she has said it so many times because that's what she wanted to believe, but it wasn't there. And now she believes it. And we do that. We deceive our own heart. All right, 2 points from this passage that I want us to see. First of all, in Proverbs, we've seen that it does matter what we said. In this passage, what we're seeing here, that's so important. I don't care how much you know, how much you believe in your heart. When you're allowing those evil, foul things to come out of your mouth, what it's doing is making anything that you know is worthless. Worthless. Be in the best place, the best position, the best posture that you've ever been in, God. But if you're letting these things come out, worthless. Now, let's give a couple of examples here. Things that we say, things that we all are guilty of saying and have said, and you'll get the gist. Let me go ahead and balance, okay? Let me say a couple, and then I'll balance it. Ever heard anybody say, I'll never get out of debt? I'll never get out of debt. Well, do you realize what you have just done? You just released demons to keep you in debt. What you got to do is say, no! He has given me power to make wealth! That's what the Word says. That's the wisdom from heaven. I don't guess I'll ever get healed. What have you just done? Now let me show you. Look with me now. We're coming back to James, but not to James chapter 1. We'll go next time to James chapter 3. But right now we're going back to Luke. I want you to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Jesus has sent out the 70 disciples. Not the 12, the 70. Not the 12 that He made apostles. These are 70 folks just like you and just like me that love Jesus and set their lives behind Him to follow Him. These were the 70. The 70 went out. He sent them out. He told them what to say. Talk about that in just a second. They came back and they were rejoicing, and He was rejoicing because they said that even demons are subject to Your name. Remember that? Okay, even demons are subject to Your name. And then in chapter 10, let's start with verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, I'm just sticking this in. When did Satan fall from heaven? From the beginning or when the kingdom of God was preached? Don't answer. Just think. What brings the devil down is the gospel and the message of the kingdom of God. Now, I'll show you in just a second. Now what we're talking here, he said, well, I'm on the wrong page. What he says here is that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority." If you have a King James Bible, it says power. To tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall injure you. Now, he says, "I have given you power." It's the Greek word exousia. And what the word means is ability, privilege, force, capacity, competence, freedom, mastery, delegated influence. What this word means is he's given you the right. He's delegated you authority. And then over all the power of the devil. Does the devil have power? Does the Bible right there in that verse say that the devil has power? The devil has power, folks, but he doesn't have authority. Who has the authority? Which would you rather have, power or authority? The Christians are praying for power. You want the authority, folks. I'll give you an example. A little 110-pound woman. She's standing out. She's directing traffic and letting school children cross the road. She's got a badge on her chest. Here comes an 18-wheeler semi down that highway. She steps out in the middle of that thing, little 110-pound woman, sticks up her hand. Who's got the power? The power's coming at her. Who's got the authority? What must that powerful thing do? What do you want? The power or the authority? He's given us the authority to stop the devil. And the way you'll do it is go look at verse 8 and 9 of that same chapter. "And whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you." And what is that? Heal. I got it marked so bad I couldn't read. "And heal those in it who are sick, and say to them what? The kingdom of God has come near to you." Where do you need healing at? Do you need healing in your body? Do you need healing in your mind? Do you need healing in your spirit? Do you need healing in your finances? Where do you need healing at? The gospel that Jesus preached will heal you. The gospel that Jesus told these 70 to preach will heal you. Why? Because you got authority over the devil. And whatever he comes at you with, a semi-truck or whatever, all you got to do is say, "Whoa!" And he must stop. Now that's what I'm trying to work into here and understand, that when you release words and you say to it, it's got to obey you. When you speak to the mountain, Jesus says that mountain must obey you. Back to James, chapter 3. The Greek word power that we just looked at that the devil has is dunamis. Explosion power. Anybody's ever had the devil explode something around you? Yeah. And probably you allowed it to happen. Probably you released a word, you said something along the way that allowed him and gave him a place to come and do that. Now, I'm going to deal with that the rest of the time. Let's look at a few more examples here. People in Rome wanting a work, wanting a church that'll come against the powers of hell. And we were there Tuesday night, and it seemed so overwhelming to them what we were sharing and saying. But it's not. And what you got to learn to say is, we will have it. Jesus says he'll build his church in this place, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. We will have it. I talk to preachers all the time. I was at some place, and I won't say where I was because he may hear this tape on the radio and know that I was saying some things. But I was at a place, and this preacher come in, and he was telling me how bad things are. He was telling me that it was so bad, his life was a mess, his church was a mess, telling me that he didn't think it ever going to get straightened out. He's always going to have to suffer these things and have these things. That he just couldn't wait to go on to be glory. He wanted the Lord to come on so he'd go on to glory. And I gave him my standard answer, Steve. I said, "Well, I've got a rifle at home, and I'll go home and I'll help you if that's what you really want." And of course, they never do really want that, you know. They don't know what they're doing. They're releasing things. They're saying things that's coming on them. And you know, and what I'm trying to get us to see today is that there's a difference of guarding our mouth and bridling our mouth and lying. Now, Now's a good place to balance this thing that I'm trying to. You know how I feel about people when they come in, and I used old blind Bartimaeus. These people are going someplace. They're not mad at me or nothing. They've got a place they got to be at. I used blind Bartimaeus, and when Jesus was coming down the road to Jericho, there was old blind Bartimaeus sitting there. And he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, when Jesus stopped and he says, "What can I do for you?" Blind Bartimaeus didn't say, "I ain't blind." What did he say? "I'm blind. I want to see. And I know you can do it." Now, there's a difference of lying, and there's a difference of lying and bribing your tongue. And I'm hoping that in this, that we'll learn to bridle our tongue and not move into lying. See, there's a difference. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Okay? You know, I remember, I'll never forget. And Dr. Cash wasn't lying. We were praying one day for Sally Cook. We've been praying for Sally Cook for months to get a job. Sally Cook is a crippled lady. Used to go to church and moved to Tennessee. And she had a little trouble getting a job. And we were praying for Sally Cook to get a job. One day we was in prayer. And Dr. Cash says, "Well, pray, Lord, I praise you for Sally Cook's job." And Sally Cook didn't have a job. But what he was doing was activating angels. I knew now what he was doing. But at that point in time, I thought Sally Cook had a job. So I stopped praying for Sally Cook. Everybody in there did. Judy had the same experience at a women's prayer. They said the same thing. She said, "Well, did you know that Sally Cook had a job?" I said, "Yeah, Ted said so this morning." There's a difference. You see what I'm saying? We bridle it. We just don't let these things come out of our mouths that will incur demons upon us. Now, stay with me, and we're going to see all this. This is so clear. Now, James chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to read 2, verse 12. And then I'm going to talk, and then I'm going to read verse 13 through verse 18. And it is marked up, and I don't have my things. Okay. He says, verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in that and what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct," everybody say direct, "we direct their entire body as well. Behold the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed," say directed, "directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue," say that back to me, "so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world." That word world there is cosmos. It means the adorning. It means the adornment. It means the wearing of, the apparel. It's the adornment. It's the putting on of iniquity. It's the very world of iniquity. Out of our tongue we put on iniquity. That's what he's saying there. It's the world of iniquity. It's the arrangement of things. It's the way we arrange our life. It's how we decor ourselves. It's the world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defies or defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of life, and is set on fire by hell. While we're right there, tell me where the tongue gets its destructive power. Do you see that? Verse 7. "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue." I can't tame your tongue. You can't tame mine. You know what? "No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." What is the most popular typology of the devil? Serpent. Injecting its venom. Injecting its poison. And he says, and that's what the tongue does. It's a fire from hell. With it we bless our Lord and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. I want to talk about this, and then I want to talk about how we get away from a defiled tongue. First thing that we've got to see here is that he says that the tongue causes us to stumble. There's many ways that we stumble, but one among these ways is the tongue. How many of you ever tripped over your tongue before? You have, haven't you? You said something, and man, you tripped over your tongue. You stumbled because of your tongue. And we are all guilty of this. We fall. We make mistakes. We fall because of the tongue. The tongue causes us to stumble. He says that's why he starts off this passage talking about teachers. Folks, do you realize the words that I'm releasing to you will either bring to you angels or bring to you demons? You're sitting, that's what we say, under the ministry. You're sitting under this ministry, at this house, at this place. I understand that what I put on you, I'll be judged for. We get a stronger, a more stricter judgment because of the power of the tongue. Verse 3 and verse 4, he gives us two examples. He says, horses and ships. Now, the purpose of this is to show us that it's direction. Big horses, and I'll use the Clydesdales. You've all seen the commercial where the little guy, 150 pounds, sitting on this little bitty cart, got, what is it, 8 Clydesdales out here, 1,000-pound horses, ton horses. Maybe, I don't know how much they weigh. Huge, huge animals. And what is he directing them with? A little bitty bit. He turns that thing this way. He goes up hills. He goes down hills. He directs those big old animals by a little bitty bit. And he says it's so that way with a ship. Huge ships. Little bitty rudder. Goes against the waves. Goes against the wind. He says, but it gets where it's going because of that rudder. Those Clydesdales, those horses get to where they're going because of the bit. So, then he says, is it verse 5 that says this? So also the tongue. Where do you want to get? Where do you want to get to? Do you want to get out of debt? Then Jesus has given you the power to make wealth. Do you need healing? Do you want to get to heal in your body? Then stop saying that I'll never get healed or I'll never be out of debt. You start saying what's going to happen. Now, I'm not talking about lying. I'm talking about speaking the Word of God to the thing. You say to the mountain, you will be removed and you will be cast into the sea. And He says if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, it will happen. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, salvation is working. And this is what I'm trying to get to us, to get us to understand and to say. Get us to understand it and to say it. Horses, ships, same way with the ship, goes against winds, goes against the waves, waves of life, the winds of life. You can go where you want to go. You might have to go through the waves and through the wind, but you can get there if you'll set the course. Set the course, set that rudder. Learn to do it. Verse 6 says, the entire body can be defiled by the tongue. Now, there's two dimensions I want to bring this. First of all, there is your personal body. Your own body. I really believe that a lot of times we'll say things that make us sick. We get deceived in our own hearts and we make ourselves sick sometimes. I also believe the body of Christ can be defiled by tongue. I will not allow defilement to come into this body by tongue. I'm starting to hear little rumors. Things being said. If they don't stop, I'll approach it because I will not go through it again. I'm a shepherd of this flock. The elders are shepherds of this flock. We'll garden it. What does a shepherd do? Run when the sheep, when snakes come around the sheep, what do we do? Run. We lay down our lives. Folks, it will not happen here. We've been through it. We won't do it again. And don't you want people to come to your church? Sure I do. Yeah, I want our church to grow. But if you're not going to get in unison with us, then go find some place that you can speak blessings. Don't come in here and speak cursings upon us. We got enough devils. And we've had people in this city to pray against us. Release demons on us. And we've had to fight it and war with it. And you know we have. And we put up with things that we shouldn't have put up with. Because we would not address the situation. We would not address the poison. And it began to poison people. And you know it's happened. It won't happen no more. And the elders and I are together on this thing. We know who is and who isn't. And we know. We hear. We'll approach it. We'll address it. And all the elders said, it will not come here. Enough. We've all been there. All right. But a whole body can be defiled by the tongue. An entire course of life can be set on fire by the tongue. He says it's a world of iniquity. It's the cosmos of iniquity. It's the adornment of iniquity. We allow ourselves to put on an adornment of iniquity and an adornment of sin because of a tongue. And then it says in verse 6, and you need to mark that. If you mark your Bible, you need to mark this. And it sets on fire by hell. It is set on fire. Where does the tongue get its power from? Hell. It releases demons. Demonic spirits come because we've released the power of hell. It sets the direction. It sets the course. It sets the destiny of an individual. We set the destiny of this church by our tongue, folks. We set the destiny of our families by our tongue. We set the destiny of our individual lives by our tongue. I've heard parents say to their kids, you dumb kid. You're never going to be anything. What have they just done to that kid? Have they blessed him or have they cursed him? And I'm talking about these things. I'm dwelling here. Like, well, it's going to end good. It's going to end very. You're going to be happy when you leave. Verse 8, it's full of deadly poison. Serpent poison. Poisons our lives. And then he gives us several examples. About five examples of the tongue. And I'll talk about those in just a second. I want to read now. Verses 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly and natural or sensual. And what is that last one? Demonic. Now listen, when we read the Bible with these little paragraph indentions and paragraph breaks, our mind wants to change and go into another gear. He is still talking about the tongue here. If you'll look over and just, I'll show you how far this passage, this thought goes in James' mind. Look over in chapter 4, verse 11. I'll show you that he's still talking here about the tongue. Verse 11 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law or speaks against the word of God. He's still right in the middle of when talking about the tongue, he's talking about wisdom. Because out of your tongue is going to come either earthly wisdom or out of your tongue is going to come heavenly wisdom. Wisdom that is from above or wisdom that is from this earth. This is what it'll do if you're in the earthy realm, if you're in the natural realm and you're not going to bridle your tongue, what will happen is it will be earthly, it will be natural, or King James Bible I think says sensual, and it will be demonic. It will be releasing demons. Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfishness, ambitions exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. King James Bible says, every evil work. When we allow jealousy in this church, bitterness in this church, when we allow poison in this church, we are opening the door for every evil thing to come in here. Every evil thing. You're talking here adultery. You're talking fornication. You're talking all those evils that we look as bad sins. Sin, sin. But you're opening yourself up to every evil thing. When you start allowing jealousy and those things start coming in, if it gets on me, will it get on you? We got to protect one another. You got to protect me. I got to protect you. Now, who's wise of understanding, he says here. He uses two wisdoms, that which is of heaven, that which is of the earth. And then he gives us seven identifying characteristics of heavenly wisdom. And I'm going to talk about this real briefly because that's not my message. What I want to first of all say there is the first thing that Wisdom that's from above is pure. Our motives will be pure. What will be coming out of our mouth will be pure. Now, I want to use, the reason I'm using this one and going to spend a little bit of time on this one, because I can go back and get those five examples that he has given to us prior to it, because it's pure. It's unmixed. What comes out of our tongue should be unmixed. It should be pure. In other words, he says one thing, you won't bless God and curse people. It'll be pure. You know, have you ever seen people that could come and clap their hands and praise God and dance and do all that stuff, but couldn't get along with nobody? Come on. I mean, they can't, all they want to do is tell you how to do this and tell you how to do that and come in. But you're doing it wrong, brother, and putting a curse on you. You don't do that with the wisdom, when you bridle your tongue. When you bridle your tongue, you won't do that. It's pure. It's first of all pure. You won't bless God and curse people. You'll bless everything. You just walk around blessing, blessing, blessing. Second thing it says, you won't bring fresh and bitter water. Aren't you glad when you open your spigot at your house that you don't have to wonder if poison water is going to come out of there or if pure water is going to come out of there? When you open your mouth, folks, you shouldn't wonder what's coming out. Brethren, these things ought not to be. He says then the third one. He says, is a fig tree, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a vine produce figs? When you're using your tongue right, you won't try to portray yourself as something you're not. If you're a fig tree, you won't say, I'm an olive tree. This is difficult, isn't it? I mean, and if you're a grapevine, you won't say, what does a grapevine say? I'm a fig tree. You're just you. It's pure. You're not trying to cut a tall man's legs off so that you'll be taller. You're just you. And then finally, the fresh and salt water don't mix. It just don't mix. You know, you can't bless and curse, and it just don't mix. And the second thing he says there about the what comes out of our tongue is it should be peaceable. Peace is a way of thinking. Can't get into all this. The third thing he says is gentle. In other words, what we say won't hurt. Won't hurt when it's wisdom of God. Now, how many knows I'm really preaching to myself now, right? I've hurt some folks, people. I've really hurt people by my tongue. I didn't mean to hurt them, but I've hurt. How many of you have done that? Has anybody here ever hurt them? One, two of us, three. Okay. Won't hurt. It's gentle. It's reasonable. In other words, it makes sense. When it comes out and it's the wisdom of God, oh yeah, that's right. That's it. That's it. That's reasonable. The fifth thing is it's full of mercy and good fruits. It's not judgmental. It's not judgmental. It's full of mercy. I mean, knows that God could judge each and every one of us right now if he wanted to. Pull the plug. Okay? It's unwavering. And what we want to do, we want to judge. We want God to bless us, but we want to judge everybody else. Right? It's unwavering. It's unwavering. When you know you got the word of the Lord, when you know you got the wisdom of God, and you know you won't change because somebody changes you, comes into your house, or you go to somebody's house, and they say things to you, you won't change. You know it's God. No, that's God. I'm not changing. I'm not wavering. It's unwavering. Now, the seventh thing is without hypocrisy. In other words, you live it. You're just not talking to be talking. You're living it. I don't wear a mask to you on Sundays. This is what I am. When you see me, when you're around me, you know I'm the same one. I'll preach to you just like this at your coffee table as I will right here. And I'll talk as long as you listen. Who said that's right? Somebody said that's right. Well, now he said, son, he says, if you'll do this, if you'll sow this into your life, you'll sow this into your life, and this is the righteousness of God. If you'll sow these seeds into your life, which is the righteousness of God, he says, you'll have peace. How many want peace? The blessings of peace. My goodness, here it is. Here it is. Bridling your tongue. You know, the way of thinking and getting your mind and what you're saying right will bring you peace. How do I bridle my tongue? All right. I am right on time. I'm going to give you four things, four ways to bridle your tongue. Four ways. Before I do, how many see now that there's a power in my tongue that can release angels or release demons? Let me see some. How many sees this now? Before you leave, you say it's a power set of hell. Okay. When you go in a negative mode, you're releasing demons. You're releasing demons on yourself, your family, your church, your city. Okay. Number one. How do I bridle my tongue? Must allow somebody to speak into your life. You must allow somebody to speak into your life. Folks, you got to go to whoever it is that you talk the most to, whether it's your husband or your wife or your parents or somebody at work, and you got to say to them, I want you to tell me when I've released demons on my life. I want you to tell me that I am speaking negative things. And I give you the right and the responsibility to do that. Now, the way this church functions is that the eldership of this church has the right and the responsibility. It's not just the right. They just don't have the right to come up and tell me when they think I've missed it. It's their responsibility to come up and tell me that they think I've missed it. Why? Because I could have said something, released something on my life. I could be moving into a wrong area. And if they don't come see and speak into my life and I won't allow it, then I'll lead a whole bunch of folks in the wrong direction. See, I understand that when allowing people to speak into your life, it's not for their good. It's for my good. It's not giving them some power. It's protecting me. Jesus, in John chapter 13, is doing the Lord's Supper. And he says there, he says, I have chosen you, but one of you are of the devil. And he goes on, he says, it grieved him in his heart. And he says, yet one of you will betray me. Now the word betray there actually just means to put into a place of uncovering. Put into a place that Judas was going to get Jesus in a place where he could be attacked. One of you will betray me. When we understand the principle of coverings, we'll understand, we won't just say, well, this one's supposed to cover me and I might let him. We'll be running around asking people, will you help me? Will you cover me? Will you protect me? Because what we'll learn is to do just what Jesus did. When we betray one another, we won't let anybody minister into our life. He'll set us in a place where the devil can come and get you. When we understand that we need to understand, when we learn, in Revelation, things got so bad in the book of Revelation, they started crying out that the rocks would cover them. When things get bad enough in your life, you'll come to somebody and you'll say, hey, will you help me? Will you cover me? Will you impart into my life? And this is not a blessing for them, folks. It's a blessing for you. Everybody needs somebody to speak into their life. To tell you when you're missing it. To tell you when you've said something wrong. To tell you when you've activated demons against your life. Second thing, when they tell you, don't get mad at them. How many has ever said, Brother David, I want to submit to your ministry. I want you to impart it to my life. Yeah, okay? So they're missing it, And you go to them and you say, you're missing this. I don't have to go to that church. I don't know, I'm going there. Who's he think he is? And they get mad at you. They get mad at you. And when you do that, when you get angry, you've given a place to the devil. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, and give no place to the devil. Those verses are tied together there. One right behind the other. When you get angry, you're giving a place to the devil in your life. Put somebody to speak into you. And when they do, don't get mad at them. Third thing. Negate hell by saying the right thing. In other words, if you catch yourself saying the wrong thing, you have released demonic spirits to go out. What you need to do then is negate that by saying the right thing. Jesus said that when men speak evil of you, when somebody hurts you and harms you, what does he say that you should do to them? Bless them and pray for them. Now what's happened? There has been a curse sent upon the life, but by your blessing them, it negates that curse. When you speak wrong things and you've released devils, then what you've got to do is come right back and speak the right thing to negate that devil. Willis has got a broke arm. He really does have a broke arm. He won't say, my arm ain't broke. You ask him. He'll tell you. I got a broke arm. But now he's got a bad report, you see. The doctor has told him that he's going to lose some motion in that. The doctor's told him that it's going to give him problems. But does Willis go around saying, I broke my arm, and I'm not going to have all my motion in there. I'm not going to be able to use my arm. What does Willis say? By his stripes, I am healed. If there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And if there's any sin, they'll be forgiven him. And he shall be raised up. So Willis, when you catch yourself getting in one of those places where we all will get when we get sick, well, I don't guess I'll ever be healed. Catch those words. You can't bring them down. You hear people, I bind those words in Jesus' name. You know, it ain't Bible. What you can do, though, is you can release some more that'll kill them. So the next thing you got to understand is when you do catch yourself, and you will, he says that no man's bridled the tongue yet. When you do, then send forth the right words. Send forth the right spirit that will kill those things. My finances are bad. I don't guess I'll ever get them healed. You're going to catch yourself sometimes when you're doing your bills. You're going to, my God, I'll never get out of debt. And if you catch that and you send some more words up there, you say, oh, no. I have power to make well. Well, that church, I tell you what, that church is all, man, that thing, that preacher preaches too long. You know, and I don't like the way to do this, I don't like the way to do this. Well, you have just released demons on your church. Now, do you want to bless your church or curse your church? Well, when you catch yourself doing that and you're talking about me, and you will, all I'm asking you to do, I'm not asking you not to talk about me, but when you do, then send some more ones up there that at least keep it from cursing me. Maybe I'll start preaching less time. What I've learned is that not how long I preach, you just want to get out of here by 12. Am I right, Mark? As long as I'm done by 12, I still got 5 minutes. Cindy Baugh, she did that, didn't she? That thing came to her. She could have said, you know, I guess that thing's right. I never will. That thing will come back on me. But she didn't. She spoke to it. Now, when you remember that, then you do the blessing. You send it back up the blessings. Then the fourth thing is avoid negative spirits. Now, we talked about this last week. We talked about the transference of spirits. Whatever you get around, folks, you're going to get it. How many of you ever noticed that you're sitting down and you think things are going pretty good and somebody comes to the house and they start talking about how bad the church is? What do you start doing? Talking about how bad things at the church are. It's just been gotten on you. George, am I right? Is this... Hey, that's going to happen. But when you catch it, send some words up. When it happens to you, what you've got to start doing is avoiding those people that you know are going to talk negative about the church. You get around them, it's going to get on you. It's just the way it is. Now, Romans 16, verse 17 says this, mark those, King James Bible says, NASB says, keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and hindrances and stay away from them. King James Bible says, avoid them. It's contagious. It'll get on you. First thing you got to do, first, allow somebody to speak into your life. Second thing you got to do is when they tell you you've just done something wrong, say, okay, you're right. Third thing you got to do is negate what you've done, what you've said. And the fourth thing you got to do is avoid those people. If you stay around them, it'll affect you. It's a poison that gets into you. It sets on a course of fire on your life, on your home, on your church. You avoid them. Just avoid them. What the Bible says, avoid them. All right. Have we heard from the word of the Lord? All right. I want you to make some declarations. Let's stand. You will not be blessed. I am positive and determined. I think I've showed you today. You will not be blessed if you are not trying to bridle your tongue. You just won't be. Rod, was you waving at me or just stretching? Okay. He touches the ceiling when he... You will not be blessed if you do not learn how to control the tongue and not how to control your words. It's just... There's power and death. There's power of life and death that resides in your tongue. I want you to repeat with me after me. I want you to say it loud. I want you to mean it, okay? Father, I will speak life and not death.